are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So balancing faith with other life priorities is a personal and ongoing journey. And individuals may have to make adjustments based on changing circumstances and priorities. The key is to be intentional, reflective, and adaptable in navigating the complexities of modern life while staying true to one's faith and values. Faith and values. We are joined on the line here by Pastor Chongwe, who has been, in fact, helping us with this conversation about faith. And today, once again, he is back. My pastor, Mfundisi, today, Murubwanji.
Murubwanji, Sanel, how are you doing?
I am good, and you?
Where did you learn that from?
Ah, Mfundisi, me, the gift of tongues, born.
I see.
No, every time I speak to a pastor, I try to learn the greetings. So this one, I have it on lockdown. But if we had responded further, I would have been stuck. But I'm getting there slowly by surely, you know, Mfundisi, because we need to learn. We need to learn. So slowly by surely, I'm getting there.
We praise God for that.
Indeed, Mfundisi. So before we get into our conversation, first, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us?
All right, shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, above in heaven, we want to glorify you for this time that you've given unto us to look into your word on matters of faith and priorities that we set in our lives. Now, Father, we want to ask and pray that you cleanse us of all our unrighteousness and that your Holy Spirit be with us to speak unto us, to soften our minds that we might listen, and also, Father, to influence others who need this message to tune into this radio that they might listen unto your word. Thank you very much for being with us. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we're speaking about all things balancing, right? Today, it's all about balancing. It's a balancing act today as we look at this. So how should one determine and set priorities in our lives, considering faith, career, family, personal goals, children, yonke into Mfundisi, I mean, considering all of these things, you know, how then now do we set the priority, saying that this is a priority when we're speaking about faith? You know, being able to attend the 10 days of prayer, for example, is a priority. Mm. But at the same time, I still need to go and upskill my skills in terms of work, and these things are clashing, you know, I can't listen because, you know, so how then do we balance those and determine our priorities?
All right. Thank you very much, Anele. First of all, we need to understand that matters of faith on themselves, they're very, very challenging. They're very challenging in the sense that, you see, it is always a battle between, you know, things that comes with flesh. When I say things that comes with flesh, I mean our needs, not our wants, Anele, but our needs. Such as work, our needs such as money, our needs such as projects that we've set apart, you know, and also matters of faith that actually I need. But however, as Christians, when we are talking about faith, we are talking about a set of belief that we have ascribed ourselves to. And so that determines that we have to live according to that faith. And so if we are to, you know, if we are to think of how to determine and set priorities, it is better if we look at it on the biblical point of view. On the biblical point of view. I like what the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. The psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now, you see, there's a very big problem over how people today explain wisdom and in the olden context. Because in the olden days, already here we are seeing an issue where the psalmist is trying to help us understand that God is more concerned with time. Because it says, teach us to number our days, which means when he's talking about numbering the days, there are certain goals that he needs to achieve on this in a certain set of time. And, you know, these are priorities of his life, you know, and he says that we might acknowledge, you know, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, what does wisdom do? In the olden days, they believed that wisdom used to give long life. You know, wisdom, was the starting and the ending with God. Wisdom actually was the source, the fear of the Lord, you know. And these things are believed to be things that actually made one to live so well. It is not so much about the mind, about thinking. It is more about, you know, it is more about what you are doing in implying the faith that you have. And so when we look at the context of this psalm, it is actually requesting for wisdom on how David can handle priorities of life. So in setting priorities of life, it is very important to acknowledge the faith that we ascribe ourselves to, the belief that we are having. You know, sometimes we have this mind of thinking that God is not concerned with our plans or our personal lives. I usually say doubt is an evidence of serving the God that you do not know. When you read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, you know, it's a common Bible passage where the Bible says, "For I knew you before you were born. I set you apart when you were in your mother's womb, you know, for a purpose." That does not only, you know, subscribe to Jeremiah's life, but to every person and individual that is born. So already there, it tells us that when a person is born, there's a certain purpose that they are attached to, and there are certain things they need to accomplish. That's the purpose of their life and existence. And so if they are setting priorities of life, they have to consider the faith they ascribed to, the creator that they are having, so that he might guide them in as much as they are setting their priorities to walk in the way that he wants them to walk in, that they might be very, very successful.
So, Mpundisi, looking at that, you know, are there specific principles from our faith that should guide our decision-making regarding priorities? And looking at those, Mpundisi, when we're studying the Bible, are there things that we're going to be getting there that are going to help us in this decision-making?
Of course, Danelle, there are quite a number of things. The Bible talks about a lot of things that can help us to set priorities, you know, principles that we need to consider. You know, first of all, I would like us to read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, because I find something very, very interesting here that actually I can't let the audience to miss out. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be comforted to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that God, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we are dealing with the will of God. When we are looking at principles to set our priorities in life, one of the things we must consider is we must not go against the will of God. Let me give you an example from the Bible. You know, Zanelle, I find something, when you look at the fall of man, the fall of man is all about man setting, you know, going against the principles that God has given him on how he should live life, trying to go against the will of God, you know, because Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 tells me to say that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and they ate. Now, this is one of the Bible passages that talks about principles that we must consider when making decisions. I find it more applicable to us because it talks about two things, the negative and the positive. It helps us understand what comes in. You know, this is the center of decision making of these people, where they were to set priorities in life, because they had what they wanted to become. Three things that you notice there, Zanele, is that the woman saw that the food was good for her.
Okay.
So there are three things that we'll talk about here, just on principles to consider when making a decision making. The first one is the woman saw that the fruit was good for food. Already that is the lust of flesh. All right. This means doing something contrary to God's will. She was trying to do something that is contrary to God's will. And you also remember that this same temptation came unto Jesus. You know, the first temptation that came unto Jesus was the temptation of food. Yes. So what this means is when we are setting principles of decision making, we must not go against God's will in what we think of becoming. Yes. What we are trying to do must not go contrary to the will of God.
Okay.
This is what it means. She saw that the food was good for food, you know, so she thought of doing something that was contrary against God's will. Now, the second thing is she saw that, you know, the fruit was delight to the eyes. You know, this is the lust of the eyes, you know, trying to be. Now, this is the eyes trying to become something that you're not, the desire to have something apart from God's will. You know, most of the times when we are trying to make decisions based on priorities, we make decisions sometimes that are selfish because we desire, you know, to have something that is a part of God's will. For example, God is telling you to say, you need such kind of a wife. You do not be unequally yoked with, you know, non-believers. And you're telling yourself to say, no, God, my eyes can see also. You don't know the beauty I'm seeing there. You know, obviously, maybe God is calling me, some of us who we are called, maybe God was calling me to be Mfundi, and the world is also calling me to be, you know, whatever. So you have to see which one is it that God wants me to. So there's a key principle here in decision making. We must desire to do something that is not apart from God's will.
Okay.
Yes. And then the third thing is, you know, the woman, she saw that the fruit was desirable to make one wise. Now, this is one of the greatest sin. This is the pride of life.
Yes.
You know, desire to be, you know, at first we looked at, you know, trying to do something against God's will. All right. And then the second thing is desiring to have something apart from God's will, to do, to have. The last one is desire to be, right? To make one wise. The desire to have to be something apart from God's will.
Yes.
You know, when we are holding ourselves, you know, from doing what God wants us to be, we miss out some points. So one of the principles in decision making, according to the Bible, from what we are reading, is that we must desire to be what God wants us to be.
Okay.
Yes. Now, what does God want us to be? You know, God wants us to love Him with all our minds, with all our hearts, and with all our soul. All right. So the principles that we must follow is all about self-sacrifice, and we must stick to one thing, and that is the will of God. That is part of the principles that we must hold. You know, that's the reason why the psalmist says, you know, I have sought the Lord, and He has guided me and led me. So the word of God stands as a major, major guide when we are looking at principles of in decision making. Now, one of the things that we must note, you remember there was a time when Moses was about to leave, you know, leave leadership into Joshua. And when you read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and the Bible tells us to say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt read it day and night, that you shall be prosperous in the way that you should lead. Now, when someone can ask to say, how does that Bible text apply to, you know, sometimes we make priority decisions that are not actually biblical. The problem we have as human beings is that we try to separate God from our decision making.
Hey, Mfundis.
Yes, and that's the reason why we are failing, Zanele. Because God is everything. When we say God is good, we don't understand what it means sometimes. When we are saying God is good, it means God is good.
Yeah.
Because The reason why we have so much suffering today is because man thought that they can make an independent decision apart from God's will. And we find that's the reason why we have all these troubles, because God is life. That's the reason why we are existing. And how do we prove that God is life? God created the heavens and the earth, and when man had lost life, he restored it by dying on the cross. And we believe that he's going to give us a new life. So when someone is trying to make a decision out of the sequence of God, it means they are making a dead decision. It's like God, let me put it this way. It's like God is in a room. God is a room, all right? And man is also in the same room.
Okay.
And this room is called life. But when someone is trying to get out of this room, they might die. So when whichever decision that we must make, that must be progress and prosperous, must be in the same room where we are with God. Yes, that's the reason why you see sometimes people can say God is not concerned about our personal lives. But there are a lot of things in the Bible that talks about healthy issues. People can say, no, God is not concerned about how, you know, about social life. When you look at the Ten Commandments, Zanele, you will find that the Ten Commandments, four of them are for God and six of them are for human beings, which means God is also more concerned with human beings.
I see. So, Mpundisi, how then now do we manage our time, you know, to ensure a balance between our faith practices, our work, our family, and our personal pursuits? I think when I started on, I did make a mention, you know, an example of, for example, this 10 days of prayer. Let's say you don't have the time to listen to AWR because we are carrying the prayers, right? But your local church has said, no, we are meeting every day at 6 o'clock. At that time, you are still at work, right? Or maybe wherever you're going to at church, there's something that needs to be done during the midweek. But then you have your career that you have to focus on, you know, because that's that puts bread on the table. And then you have children, they have extramural activities that you must take them to. So how then do you find that balance, and navigate that? Okay, this is time for my religious practices, my faith practices. This is time for my career. This is time for my husband. Because even the husbands and the wives, they need time. You know, they need time for that marriage. How do you find that balance?
All right. Thank you very much. You know, you've just reminded me of something, Zanele. One of the ladies, you know, a youth lady, when the pastor was teaching one of the days, you know, she said, they asked the question, why are you not getting married, youth of today? And one of the young ladies lifted up the hands and says, Mfundisi, you know, Pastor, these Adventist ladies, when you're with them, they're always talking about Ellen White and the Bible.
And the lesson study.
They're not romantic at all. You know, there's really a need of a balance.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a need of a balance because spirituality is not sometimes what we think, you know, it has a form of what they call, you know, cognitive indulgence, where we need to have equal balance over our thoughts of reality and the Bible, because reality at some time might strike us. You can't be praying when you are supposed to wake, obviously, and you can't just all be, you know, Ellen White says you don't have to be so much heavenly minded that you are earthly useless, you know. Let me make a quotation for those who are Adventists, they understand this well. You know, education, the page is 57, the paragraph is 3. Sister White says this common and famous words, you know, the greatest want of the world is the want of men, you know, men who cannot be bought or sold, you know, men who does not fear to call sin by its right name, men who, in their inmost souls are true and honest, you know, men whose conscience is true to duty as they need to the poor. But however, such things, you know, are not a result of special endowment, you know, but rather self-discipline. You know, the sticky, I like the point where she says, you know, men whose conscience is true to duty as they need to the poor. True to duty as they need to the poor. When you look at a campus, Zanele, it is always pointing to the north. But however, that does not mean the campus is not working. It does not mean that it does not indicate that when it turn west, it does not indicate that you are turning west. It is always there to guide you, but it is sticking its focus to the north. It can lead you to the west, it can lead you to the south, but its focus is to the north. What am I trying to say? Our main focus, in managing time, our main focus should be on God, but we must find ways of involving ourselves into other earthly priorities without them really disturbing our focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it becomes more personal because there are some issues we cannot give a really clear example, but however we can give the principle by which we can work on. And this principle is we must stick to the pole, to the north, which is God.
Mm.
We must stick there. That's where we belong. But however, we must find ways of also moving other directions of life in order to strike a balance. For example, if you have a family and, for example, you have church members who needs to see you, maybe you're a church leader, you need to plan for the year, and also your family needs, your family needs your attention. You have to set time to see your family members and also for God.
Okay.
It becomes more personal now. It's an issue of planning, strategic planning. How do you plan?
Mm.
Yeah, but the key figure we must understand is that we must stick to the pole while moving in another direction.
Okay.
Because if we are only moving one direction, we'll be lost. We might not know other ways. So we must stick to the pole, but we must also move on other direction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Mpundis, as we wrap up today's conversation, right? So if you have made that planning, you spoke about strategic planning there. I have planned and I have rearranged and I have made my decisions, the right decisions, I must add, and you have done that, and then boom, there's a challenge, like Kaibo. So how then do we navigate, Mfundisi Wami, the challenges that we face when we are trying to make, to prioritize things, including our faith and stuff like that? How do we navigate the challenges that we face?
All right. So how we navigate the challenges that we are facing, Zanele? First of all, I would like to make it plain about some challenges that people usually face. The Bible is not so clear about everything.
Mm.
This we must know. It is the truth, The Bible is not so clear about everything. Sometimes, the challenges that people usually face, it's self-battle, personality. Maybe my personality, however, does not allow me to handle what the Bible says. Maybe I'm an alpha male, and the Bible talks about being humble and counting other people to be more special than you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we are being mocked as Christians. But however, how do we handle these challenges? In handling these challenges, one thing must stand so clear. We must understand that prayer, first of all, must stand priority because we are seeking for God's guidance.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit was sent here as a guide. It was sent here to help us, spread the gospel. But when Jesus was also saying, he said, he shall guide you and lead you in what you shall do.
Mm.
So prayer must stand as priority, In they say obedience is better than sacrifice. That's Psalm chapter 15, verse 22. We must use the cross in solving these problems.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by the cross, Danelle? When you look at the cross, it is actually there's a vertical line and there's a horizontal line.
Mm.
The vertical line usually represents our relationship with God. Our dealing with God, our what we need to do with God.
Yes.
But the vertical line, the horizontal line represents our dealing with other people.
Mm.
Our dealing with other people. So we must consider, in dealing with these challenges, we must consider that we are being blameless. We are doing all we can to handle, societal issues, physical issues, and all we can in order to, we must work in harmony that we are in a good relationship with people and that we are also in good relationship with God.
Mm.
If the society demands you to dig a pit, dig the pit. If at church they demand you, to have a crusade, have a crusade. So we must always find ways of balancing these two. We must do whatever we can as long as it is not sin.
Mm-hmm.
We must do whatever we can as long as it is not sin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey.
And,
No, I was saying, I thought maybe you were done there with that point so that I can wrap it up and put this one so we can go to our prayer session.
All right. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Our dear Heavenly Father above in heaven, Father, we want to glorify you for this time that you have given unto us to look into your words on matters of faith. And Father, we believe there is a brother here, there is a sister here who is listening and they're struggling with their faith. You have promised us that you shall be there to strengthen us in our faith because, Father, you are the anchor of our faith. We pray for Zambia even as they are struggling with the disease of cholera that you help them. And we also pray for Gaza and the war that is taking place that, you, Father, you keep your people safe till the storm passes by. Continue blessing us. We leave all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we'll keep on praying. Amen.
Amen and amen. And Pundisi, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us. I believe that all of us will be able to make the right decisions and make the right priorities. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Sam.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.